You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Hour number three. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Man, we cover down on all the issues and, as always, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, this is that time of the week. This is that time, one of my favorite times, actually, get together with two of my brethren who've been doing this longer than me. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coastal region of our state, also the executive editor at 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. You sound invigorated. Okay, so, and then also Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville also writes for Yellowhammer and does some kind of a TV thing that airs on the weekends. Dale Jackson, are you here?
I'm always here and writing for you, Colonel.
Thank you. As you logged, I know you logged in, by the way. I saw you logged in like when the bump music was on. That was
how dare you, sir? I've been sitting here waiting this entire time to get on here.
Well, just so you know, I rolled my eyes in the camera of the live stream right now. All right. Well, I tell you what, I pronounce a quorum. The Grand Council is convened. Play the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da! Ta-da! All right, fellas, you know the deal. We convene once a week. We ping each other with questions. We don't even know what's coming. We sometimes agree. We sometimes don't. We love each other nonetheless when it's over. So I'm going to go Jeff Poor first. What you got, man?
Let's kick it off here, this prisoner strike, inmate strike. Aside from being just challenged on the grounds of just civics, I guess the message for me is, first of all, you know what y'all think about it, but the message for me is that, like, the Alabama Department of Corrections has bigger problems than maybe we realize. Is this gonna change anything? Does this matter, or is this just a headline grabbing phenomenon?
I think it matters a little. I'll jump on it. I think it matters a little bit. Let me ask you a clarification, though. One thing I didn't see in the news, is it a work strike on, like, work release programs, or is it a work strike on in-house work, like in the dining hall and all that kind of stuff? Do you know?
My interpretation was in-house, so like you said, the dining hall, the laundry, how these prisons operate based on inmate labor.
Yeah, well, will it matter? I think it'll matter for a while until they get tired of, eating dehydrated rations and wearing dirty clothes. But is it going to change things? What's there to change? I mean, they want change now, but the reality is the prisons are being built, but they're not going to be built by tomorrow. So how long are you going to keep this strike going? I see this as being somewhat of a nothing burger in the long term, and it gives a great headline to AL.com for today. Dale?
Man, prisons sound terrible, don't they? Oh, they just sound so bad. I feel so bad for these guys. The idea here is that if they make enough noise, people will care. And then Governor Kay Ivey on the first day was like, yeah, if this is unwelcome, no thanks. And she just kind of ignored it and dismissed it. And I think that's how most people are going to treat it.
I tend to agree. Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
Well, the only thing that makes me pause for concern is just whatever, Eighth Amendment violations. We saw the prisoner getting beat up on the roof of that facility day after day after day. We get one of these stories about some kookiness going on in the Department of Corrections. I mean, it can't go on forever, can it?
No, it can't. But the thing is, it's also not designed, and I'm not excusing beating a prisoner or something like that, but it's not designed to be a day camp. It's not designed to be a place where you go to be comfortable and you get to hang out and just wait for your time to serve, go by.
Right. The thing that bothers me, though, is that, and I know that they've cried wolf 100 times, but the feds, do they eventually do something here? Maybe they don't, and this just goes on for forever, and we're talking about it forever.
I think there's going to be a bit more of a forever. I'll be honest with you. The one thing that does give me pause is it's the Biden administration. And they have been punitive in a variety of ways, and they've been willing to let people go just for COVID, much less of anything else. So, all right. Next question, Dale Jackson, I'm heading to you. What you got?
Tommy Tuberville pointed out a couple things when he said that the military's recruitment numbers are off. I think it's 10,000 this year in the Army. It'll be 21,000 next year in the Army. And, you know, it's very, very strange to me that you posted something earlier this week about a Air Force recruitment facility, or at least a training facility, where they have mixed gender bathrooms and all this other nonsense. I think Tuberville's right. We've kind of talked down the military and cops, and nobody wants to do either of those jobs anymore, and nobody has to. In times of bad economy in the past, the military and law enforcement seemed like a pretty sweet gig. Now it doesn't really appear that's the case. We might be in big trouble. Are we in big trouble in the future?
Short answer is yes, if we don't see a turnaround in policy. And that article you're talking about, that was actually a special operations training facility, which means you're trying to recruit the most elite warriors you can get. And you're sending them to a place where, guess what? You get to shower with the opposite sex and, sleep in the same barracks and use the same toilets. And, like, that's going to go over like a lead balloon. I'll just be honest with you. I look at it and think, who's thinking this stuff up? Because in the same article, Major General Michelle Edmondson, I think her name was, is the second Air Force commander. She said, "We're struggling to find the number of people we need to fill out our ranks. Therefore, we have to do things like this to make it better." And I'm thinking, ma'am, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All you're doing is driving people away. Jeff?
Isn't this a game, the Pentagon? I mean, it's all politics. It's all political. The culture in the Pentagon is as such is that these things come out of, into being because that's just how bureaucracy is these days. It's cultural sensitivity. It's inclusiveness. It's all of these platitudes and all these made-up slogans, and it's finally made its way across the Potomac to the Pentagon, and that's where this is really coming from, this sort of phenomenon.
I tend to agree. It's your own question there, Sergeant Jackson. What do you think?
I don't know. It looks like it. It looks like we got ourselves a pretty big problem here of people not wanting to serve in the military, and the ones that do are too fat. So it looks like we are in a big, big, big problem.
Dale, we can't say fat on my show.
Morbidly obese.
Thank you. All right, there's that. I'll tell you what, third question. Let me jump on this. So Governor Kristi Noem, just in the last couple of hours, announced that she is cutting the grocery tax in her state, that she is literally giving $100 million in sales tax receipts back to the people of the state of South Dakota. Alabama is one of the last states in the nation that still has a grocery tax. I mean, there's only been 13 states that had any kind of grocery tax, Alabama being one. There's only, I think, four of those that tax at the highest level possible, Alabama being one. Now South Dakota's going away. Do you think the Alabama legislature is going to finally get it and recognize you don't try to raise taxes over here so you can lower it over there? Just do away with it because it makes no sense. Jeff?
Do I think the legislature's? I think there's going to be some legislators that try. I don't like this silence on this stuff from Governor Ivey. Now, we have ourselves to blame because no one showed up to vote in the primary.
Yeah.
But there's clearly a trend here that Alabama's not following through on. And you look at Alabama, why would they follow through? There's no accountability mechanism. We'd rather spend that money than give it back to the people. I mean, that's just, every dollar the state collects, like so much of it, is already earmarked for some agency, and these agencies, they look at that tax revenue as theirs that's a spend. It's theirs already, and forget about you people out in the hinterlands. And it's just unfortunate because there's no accountability there. So the only accountability mechanism is you better hope these other red states shame Alabama into doing something, it looks like.
Well, I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take being the last man standing for them to realize. Anyway, Dale, your thoughts?
I think we are going to hold on to what we got, and I think that we are not going to go out and say, hey, have this money back. I just don't think that's going to happen. They've made it clear they don't want to rewrite the tax code. They may give some tax rebates here and there, but I think it's been pretty clear. No tax code getting rewritten in this state.
So Dale Jackson with the glass half empty is what I'm hearing.
That's what they said, isn't it?
I think you're right. But you guys both point out the obvious. It takes a legislative action, and the glass is definitely half empty on that. And then, Jeff, you point out that the governor is just staying silent on this. Like, she's not even bothering to say, this would be the right thing to do, y'all. Let's find a way to do it. no step too high for a high step. I mean, she could do it easily if she wanted to, and she's in the you're right.
But as a sidebar, the governor could probably, if she came out tomorrow and said, "This is what I want to do," the legislature would do it. Why wouldn't you use this political capital to do something?
I just had Christy Noem at the airport where I met with her, and we decided together we were both going to do it. That would go over well. I'm just going to be honest with you. All right, fellas, round one. Let's go ahead and take the break, and Boomer, take us to it. We'll come right back. Right Side Radio, the Grand Council, with my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News, and little old me right here at Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, going right back now to the Grand Council. I got my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5, 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, as well as writing for Yellowhammer. All right, fellas, round two. Off to you, Jeff. What you got?
I will save the obvious question for one of y'all, but how about this hurricane? DeSantis, looks like the left's already showing their hand here. I don't know why, but they're going to try to make this a referendum on DeSantis. That's what they do. That's what politicians do, or that's what the media does. I guess we'll have to wait a day or two, but do you think that this will work? They're not trying to take him down for the midterms, it seems. But it looks like to me the goal is to kind of dirty him up for a national figure.
Well, I think they're going to be sorely displeased with the fact that he's actually going to provide some leadership in the midst of a crisis, and literally all he has to do is make sure that he is proactive and leans forward in the foxhole, so to speak, and goes out and hugs the right number of necks and then speaks to the issues when they arise and point out the fact that Biden wouldn't call him. But you're right. This is what they do. I mean, keep in mind when Bush was president and Katrina hit, he got excoriated for daring to fly over in Air Force One and look down on the devastation because he didn't get there quick enough. He was just looking at from plane. They were just looking for things to say. Dale?
Yeah, I think they showed what they were going to do. His first real test is this hurricane. He's never had one before. Well, he has had one before. And they will find a way to say, look at what he did. How dare he do such things? He was busy flying migrants to Martha's Vineyard and all that other stuff is what we'll see. And I think most people, barring some sort of actual issue, will see it what it is, a joke. And I just point this out. Let's talk about Puerto Rico. They're having a situation right now with power down there. And no one's saying a word about it. Why? Well, a Democrat leader and a Democrat president. So it's not, I guess, interesting to talk about. When it was happening when Trump was president, it was exactly his fault. Why didn't he do more to help those people? That kind of stuff. So I think most people have picked up on what this actually is. But, yeah, they'll try, and they'll fail. DeSantis seems to have got them right where he wants them at all times. So I think that'll happen here, too.
Your question, Jeff, what do you think about it?
I think DeSantis will handle this competently, and it'll go away. Because this isn't Louisiana. This isn't any of these other places that don't know how to handle these storms. I mean, when do you have – obviously, you have these storms come through Florida, but when do you have the sort of chaos afterwards? You don't see that in Florida. It's just because people there kind of know how to deal with this stuff. And it'll go away, but DeSantis should get credit for it.
I tell you one thing that too ought to come out of this is what would it be like if Florida had California's, emissions requirements and you had a bunch of electric vehicles trying to evacuate South Florida and all running out of power as they tried to get out of these traffic jams they're stuck in it's gonna be an opportunity here for people to poke back at some of the Democrat agenda. And I hate to politicize the storm, but there it is. Next question, Dale, what you got?
I guess Jeff is leaving this for me, so I'll ask it. You guys, 18-19, you guys had a pretty interesting story.
Dang, that was my question.
I know, but I'll take it. Pretty interesting story here. And, you know, there's some questions about what the Alabama Department of Public Health is about, what the schools are about, and what's happening there. It's kind of a weird story, I'll tell you. I posted some of the videos on Twitter, and Twitter was like, ah! You can't show that. And I'm like, well, then why is it allowed in schools?
That's exactly right.
Alabama Public Department of Health. Is this going to be a story with some legs? Are they going to actually respond, or are they just going to put their head in the sand and hope that nobody else touches it?
Well, and Jeff, I'll let you capstone this thing here in a second, but the reality is Eric Mackey woke up real quick. Well, I say real quick. He waited till the story was published before he realized 18-19 was serious about running a story. But once the story went public, oh, shoot, the superintendent of education got his name removed quickly and issued a statement and sort of, you know, denounced the whole thing. And good on him for doing that. I think he should have answered the mail when they first reached out to him. But Scott Harris, he better wake up quick or he's going to be seen as the guy who is into kiddie porn. Because that's what this stuff is. It's literally sexualizing young children for no other reason except to sexualize young children, and his name is attached to it. And why he's letting that go with silence is beyond me. Jeff, your thoughts?
I think Scott Harris does need to respond to it. I think they all need to respond to it, whether they're using it or not. Because just to kind of give you a little bit of a behind the scenes here. I mean, when the story went, a couple of bureaucrats from the school board and I, we had a little bit of a yelling match, but I was like, look, the way this is, you need to respond to these things. These people are out misreporting something, and this looks like a legitimate organization, and they claim to have you and a health officer as ex officio members. That is not nothing. That doesn't make it irrelevant. It still suggests there's an association there. You need to put that fire out, and if it took us 2 weeks to finally get a response from these guys, this is how this game works. You don't respond, we put that in the story, and then we go with it. We're not working on your timeline. We're not working on your schedule. This is not how things go. Could you imagine if Dale Jackson, Jeff Poore, Phil Williams were on the board of some white supremacist organization, and AL.com comes calling, even though we're ex officio members, may have no idea we're on it. We go 2 weeks without responding to it. What do you think is going to happen to us?
I don't know.
They'll hold the story.
Sure they will. It'll be great. They won't do an eye-catching headline that has no concept in reality. First of all, Craig Monger was on the show the other day, did a great job. And Jeff, you came on the next day and sort of wrapped up a piece of it. I was glad to see, like I said, that Eric Mackey finally responded. But you are absolutely right. The very idea that they would get called on something this graphic, this awful, I guess the story is still up on 18-19 trending, isn't it?
Yeah, and a response. So it's there. I mean, we are fair. You respond. All you got to do is just come and just listen to us. We will be fair. But don't be dismissive. I mean, this stuff matters.
This stuff matters, and I'm pretty sure it's the kind of thing that is causing parents to wake up all over the nation. And Dale, your own question with about 10 seconds. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's been a great story, and I think it's been an eye-opener. And I think every time we see this kind of stuff, it's not happening here. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Okay, keep saying that. Keep trying to play that game and see how it goes for you.
Yeah, good enough. All right. Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5, 18-19 News Executive Editor. Dale Jackson writes for Yellowhammer, but he's also the morning show guy, program director at WVN in Huntsville, and me, the Grand Council. Appreciate you guys, as always. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Come right back. I'm actually going to get to number 3 on the Triple Dipper. Wow! We'll be right back.